When I wake up in the morning, Jesus is my Lord. When I go out to do my work, Jesus is my Lord. When I come back to sleep at night, Jesus is my Lord. Every time and everywhere, Jesus, the Son of God, is my Lord. When I have reasons to rejoice, Jesus is my Lord. If weeping tries to come to me, Jesus is my Lord. Whatever the situation, Jesus is my Lord. Every time and everywhere, Jesus, the Comforter, is my Lord. If the devil is waging war, Jesus is my Lord. If men are also against me, Jesus is my Lord. In peace and also in distress, Jesus is my Lord. Every time and everywhere, Jesus, the mighty God, is my Lord. In want or in prosperity, Jesus is my Lord. If sickness or disease attacks me, Jesus is my Lord. In good health or about to die, Jesus is my Lord. Every time and everywhere, Jesus, the Lord of life, is my Lord. I have repented of all my sins. I have turned away from the kingdom of the devil. I have surrendered the whole of my life to Jesus Christ today and forever. Jesus is my Lord. When I wake up in the morning, Jesus is my Lord. When I go out to do my work, Jesus is my Lord. When I come back to sleep at night, Jesus is my Lord. Every time and everywhere, Jesus, the Son of God, is my Lord. I have repented of my sins. I have turned away from the kingdom of the devil. I have surrendered the whole of my life to Jesus Christ. Today and forever, Jesus is my Lord. When I have reason to rejoice, Jesus is my Lord. If weeping tries to come to me, Jesus is my Lord. Whatever the situation, Jesus is my Lord. Every time and everywhere, Jesus, the Comforter, is my Lord. I have repented of all my sins. I have turned away from the kingdom of the devil. I have surrendered the whole of my life to Jesus Christ. Today and forever, Jesus is my Lord.
If the devil is waging war, Jesus is my Lord. Even now also against me, Jesus is my Lord. In peace and also in distress, Jesus is my Lord. Every time and everywhere, Jesus, the mighty God, is my Lord. I have repented of all my sins. I have turned away from the kingdom of the devil. I have surrendered the whole of my life to Jesus Christ. Today and forever, Jesus is my Lord. In want or in prosperity, Jesus is my Lord. If sickness or disease attacks, Jesus is my Lord. In good health or about to die, Jesus is my Lord. Every time and everywhere, Jesus, the Lord of life, is my Lord. I have repented of all my sins. I have turned away from the kingdom of the devil. I have surrendered the whole of my life to Jesus Christ. Today and forever, Jesus is my Lord. Today and forever, Jesus is my Lord. My God is great. Let's stand up to pray. Say to the Lord, Father, cause the word I'm going to hear this morning to do me good. May I not hear it in vain. Talk to the Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. Blessed Lord, our Father, we are grateful to you this morning for counting us worthy to be in your presence. Thank you so much for your word you have prepared to fill our lives with. Thank you in Jesus' name. As we go into the world, open our understanding. Tell us what our hearts need to hear, so that today and forever, it shall be well with us. May we not hear your word in vain. What you expect us to do after hearing your word, say it to us. And give us the grace to receive it. And to live our lives accordingly. Thank you, Father. Satan, I order you to stay away from here. You have no part in this program. Stay away in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Let's be seated. Praise the Lord.
Welcome to Bible Pattern Church, where we pattern our lives according to the Word of God. This is a church where the word of God is being preached without adulteration, where the power of the word is being demonstrated, enjoyed, and the true miracles of God is being experienced every time. The message you're about to listen to is preached by Pastor Z.A. Ogunsanya, the General Overseer of Bible Pattern Church. He is a very anointed but humble man of God, dynamic pastor, teacher, evangelist, and songwriter who practice what he preaches. Our church headquarters is located at end of Adewale Adegun Avenue, Karole Estate, by Estate Bus Stop off College Road, Ifako Ijaya, Lagos State. You will definitely have a touch of God as you listen to this message. Remain blessed.
We are continuing our study about death, resurrection, and related issues. We started with the meaning of death. Then we were told that death was separation, not cessation. We also looked that first week at some of the erroneous ideas the devil has taught people about death. The second week, we looked at the types of death. We said there is spiritual death, death to sin, physical death, and eternal death. The third week, we looked at the need and how to prepare for death. We said, though, our preparation should be for primarily for the second coming of Jesus. Since we don't know whether Jesus will come to meet us in the world or not, we need to also prepare for death. And we talk about what we have to do to prepare for death. I think that was the last study. So we are going to study four today. That last week, there are some areas we could not cover, especially the example of Moses in preparing for death. Even the area of what to do to prepare for death, I'm sure we still have some leftover. So we'll take it from there. For a believer to truly prepare for death is not to bother himself about where they bury him, what ceremony follows his death, which minister ministers at his funeral service, and so on. But rather, the preparation should have to do with where one will go after that. Primarily, one may also prepare for how whatever one left behind is shared among one's loved ones. So, to prepare for a good place to go after death, one will need to repent from all his sins, surrender his total life to Jesus, become a member of the Church of God, be obedient to all the commandments of God, living as a genuine Christian, being holy in thought, words, and action, sending one's treasures to heaven, laboring diligently and wisely in the vineyard of God, endeavoring to win sinners for Christ, and so on and so forth. As for the example of Moses, according to this annotated reference Bible, when Moses was getting ready to die, he prayed for his successor that God will give Israel somebody that will lead Israel that he had left for 40 years. Because the first 40 years he spent it in the palace of Pharaoh. The second 40 years he spent it in Midian. But the last 40 years of his life, he was the leader of Israel. And he prayed that God will give Israel a leader that will continue from where he was to stop. Following the leading of God, he ordained Joshua. He gave final law to Israel. He destroyed Midian as God had commanded. He gave the occupied land, or rather the conquered land, to 2.5 tribes of Israel. He wrote the summary of the journey of Israel from Egypt to the border of Canaan. He made preparations for others to enter the Canaan. He wrote the book of Deuteronomy called Second Law, in which he reminded them of all the ordinances, the precepts, and the commandments of God that he had given to them. Now, for a believer to prepare for his death, following this example of Moses, the following things are important, especially for an elderly person who knows that his days on earth are numbered. Make ready a will, a well-prepared will, to guide your loved ones in sharing your properties after your death. It is very common for children to become enemies of one another after the death of their parents because of the absence of such a document. According to Encounter Dictionary, a will is a statement determining distribution of deceased property, a statement of what somebody wants to happen to his or her property after he or she dies, or a legal document containing this statement. That's what is called a will. Make sure your will is prepared in such a way that its authenticity will not be in doubt after your death. A reputable lawyer may be made to prepare and sign it. It may be kept in a bank or in any other place it cannot be tampered with. You may need to tell each of your loved ones, in the hearing of others, what will be his portion, even when you are still alive. You can see example of this in the case of Jacob, when he was preparing to die. For example, in Genesis 48, verse 5, "And now thy two sons Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee in Egypt, are mine, as Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine." He adopted the two children of Joseph. He made them his own children, like his other sons. And thus, he effectively gave Joseph the double portion that would have gone to Reuben. He punished Reuben for defiling his bed. He said he would not excel. He gave the leadership. There are two benefits you have being the firstborn. Benefit number one, all the properties will be shared according to the number of children plus one. So you, the firstborn, will take double. Number two, the firstborn will be the leader of all the children. He gave the leadership to Judah. He gave the double portion to Joseph while he was still alive. So after his death, nobody will quarrel. A person who is in a leadership position, such as a family head, a founder, and general overseer of a church can also follow this example of Moses by making ready a person that will be able to take over and continue the work he is doing after his departure from the world. He may also need to create an enabling environment for the successor to be able to function without hindrances or disturbances. We have the example of that in the case of Abraham. In Genesis chapter 25, verses 5 and 7, and Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac, but unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son while he yet lived, eastward unto the east country. And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life which he lived, 175 years. Praise the Lord. Here is what Dick's Annotated Reference Bible says about this action of Abraham. Gave all, a wise provision, a guard against jealousy and trouble between Abraham's sons. The main reason was that they might be settled in other land so as not to dispute Isaac's claim in God's plan for him and his seed to have the land of Canaan as promised in the Abrahamic covenant. It was the custom to give the estate to the oldest son of the first wife. The sons of the concubines did not inherit unless in the case of no legal heir, with the consent of the wife. A law of that time provided that they could receive from the father certain presents. The separation of Abraham's sons was in harmony with God's will concerning the chosen nation, remaining separated from all other branches of the race, so that the Messiah could come as predicted. The example of Moses can also be followed by giving specific instructions to one's children as to how things should be done after one's death. This was the kind of thing Caleb referred to in the next scripture, Joshua 14 verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thy inheritance, and thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go and to come in. You can read the rest of the chapter. What Caleb was saying here was that Moses said it in the hearing of everybody that I was going to inherit the land when I brought good report when we went to spy the land. You heard it then. Yes. As we are sharing the land now, Where is the land? You have to give it to me, because Moses had given it to me in the presence of all of you. Amen. Young people, even some elderly people, may see this now to be of concern to them. Say, I'm not going to die yet, so I don't need to hear this. You are growing older every day. Every day. And one day, you may be too old to understand this. The understanding you have today will guide you at such a time. Any elderly person that would not like his children to be in trouble after his death, we need to prepare how his property will be shared after his death. I've told you, writing of will is one example. Then calling everybody and telling them in the presence of one another, there could be witnesses. I remember when we were at Togba, 22 Yaya Baton, our landlord was not a very old person. He's of age, but not very old. But I remember when we were there, he was telling us that this building, he had many houses, he said, this building belonged to so children. He wasn't telling us as witnesses, maybe we if there is any problem, we will do anything. No, he was just saying it. But the way he said it, he had made up his mind that this building is for this, this building is for this. Why was he alive? Nobody knew he would be dead even by now. But he has died since about maybe 5 or more years ago. And I did not hear of any problem after his death. I don't know the way they shared it too, but I want to believe that the arrangement he made, he followed. At least, he had more than one wife. But one of the wives was our member. And she's still a member of this church. She attends Okearo branch, even today. I didn't hear that there was any problem after his death. He had properties, but it seems he had made proper arrangement when he did not even know he was going to die. Hallelujah. Let's leave that one, because not too many of us are interested in that, I'm so sure. Today, the topic before us is believers' attitude to death, the dead, and bereavement. Everybody say it. Believers' attitude to death, the dead, and bereavement. These are three things. Brethren, we can't run from death. If you run from it, he runs after you. Death is a terrible reality that no truly sane person can deny. People die around us every day. Yesterday, there was a program at the border of Pakistan and our rival, India. And a suicide bomber went there, blew himself up, and killed a lot of people. That's yesterday. The war of the Iraqis, Americans, and his allied, and the ISIS is still raging. Every day, people are still being killed. And don't forget the Syrian war is still going on. In spite of the peace agreement between Ukraine and I don't know what name to call them, the rebels there, they are still killing one another. In Burkina Faso, the people have told their president enough. He has been there for donkey years. And they said they wanted to change the constitution so that he can run again. And the people said, Mba. There was riot. The man was forced to step down. The military, usually that's their duty, took over. I thought the rioting would stop. The rioting increased. The people said, no, we don't want military. I was able to read it this morning that the military have now promised there's going to be an interim government. But before they are able to achieve that, somebody's life was sacrificed. That's yesterday. Everywhere. Death. It's a daily occurrence.
Hallelujah.
Why you are still saying, oh, the sadist is dead? You hear somebody is dead. You hear somebody is dead. You hear somebody is dead. So we can't deny it. It's not too far away. It's very close. Some days ago, one of our brothers came to me and said, I will need to go out. I said, where are you going out to? He said, one of our brothers, his wife was to deliver. And the baby is dead. So we want to join the brother to see how they will bury the baby. You say here. All those churches where they tell themselves, you will never die. Nobody will die. They see die. Children die. Adults die. Youth die. No, we pray it will never come. It will never come. It still come. You say, what do we do then? We prepare. We pray it won't come. But in case it comes, it shouldn't meet us unaware. When a person prepares the way he ought to prepare for death, when death comes, it is not a problem. But when a person refuses to prepare for death, when death comes, that will be the greatest calamity of his life. Now, churches are not the same. The focus of the leadership are not the same. The objectives, the purposes of the churches are not the same. But churches that want people to enjoy God in life and in eternity will not only prepare them for cucumber, jeep, we also prepare them for death. Because when death is ready to come, it will come. So won't prayer stop it? Moses did not pray. Abraham did not pray. Peter did not pray. Paul did not pray. John the Beloved did not pray. Where are they? They are dead. Many of our fathers in the Lord, the general overseer of the church where I gave my life to Jesus, is dead. The person who preached, it was a sermon I was hearing the day I decided to become a pastor. No, I'm not sure it was about being a pastor. But it seemed that's the method God used to help me. It was Baba Akapo that was ministering. He came to our branch at Bariga from his station in Iwaya to minister that Sunday. And as he was ministering, I just knew in my heart I should stop my job. I should go to school, become a pastor. It was a Sunday morning. And I was not struggling with it. Is it God? Is it not God? I was so sure it was God. Baba Kako is dead. The day God told me to start Bible Pattern Church, I was at Ibadan. It was Pastor Paul who were on that minister's conference. Pastors came from various locations. Pastor Paul was the district overseer of Ile-Ife. He was the one ministering that time. Other minister, but at the time God spoke to me, it was Pastor Paul that was ministering. I can lead you to where I was sitting. I didn't see any vision. Is there anointing? I didn't feel anointing. Audible voice, I didn't hear any audible voice. What did you know? I just knew in my heart. He wasn't talking about starting a church anyway. But I just knew in my heart that God said I should go and start a church. And I've told you, I've not prayed about it once. So, I don't like the way you tell us this thing, Jerry. How can you say you start a church? I didn't pray. Oh. No, I pray God help me, God assist me, God direct me. But God, are you the one talking? I never said it one second. You said why? I was sure it was God. And when there were situations, troubles, uproars, problems, I did not need to pray, God, were you the one who spoke? I just knew it was God. Pastor Paul, who preached that day, is dead today. I'm not the one who killed them. It was their time to die. And they were not aged people. They were not elderly people. The point I'm making is that death is a reality we cannot deny. In the PM news of 30th October 2007, was the news of how 30 people were burnt to death when a petrol tanker fell and caught fire along Lagos Ibadan Express Road. You say, why do you go to that time? That was around the time the book was being prepared. Fatal accidents are regular occurrences on these and many other roads like it. Because of the frequency of deadly accidents on that road, somebody suggested that the road should be declared a disaster zone. Now, answer me. How many disaster zones do we have in Nigeria? In the world? The other day, we were returning from Akure. Between Ilesha and Ile-Ife, we felt the road was better. And suddenly we saw a vehicle facing us on our lane. I said, this happened on Biniore Road. Why Ile-Ife again? But it was late in the night. Somebody said, maybe armed robbers do attack them at that side. So they decided to shift to this side. I said, okay, so armed robber cannot come to this side. You have disaster zone everywhere. 2 weeks earlier, before that of 30th October 2007, a similar accident involving a loaded petrol tanker, which burnt a lot of people, happened at the ever busy Oju Elegba Bridge in Lagos. Say, Oju Kini, Oju Elegba Bridge. A petrol tanker fell. Only God knows how many people died. In case you don't know, when they tell you 3 people die, in many cases, the people that died, even the actual figure they gave you is a lie. And in some cases, the people they said are wounded or injured are almost dead. 2 days after, 2 died. 3 days after, 4 died. Another day, another one died. There was a shooting in a school in the U.S. about a week ago, or a week plus now. They said 2 people died. The person who shot his fellow student and somebody that he killed. A few days after, number 3 died. There was a space, whatever, trying to take supply to International Space Station. Americans have now given it to private people to do it. Fudging something, something. Media, a few seconds after it took off, the thing exploded. There were 2 pilots. One of the 2 pilots died immediately. The other one parachuted and was safe. Praise the Lord. Go to the hospital and see. The point I'm making is that when they tell you 10 died, at the end of the day, they may be 30. They may be 100. Like earthquake. Like other natural disasters. The number they give, in some cases, they tell you so-so number died because they can't locate the bodies of the rest people. And until they locate the bodies, they will still be assuming that maybe they are alive somewhere. The plane that got missing then, with over 200 people, you know, they have not declared the people dead because they can't see their bodies. But who don't know that they must be dead by now? At the time, some people said they are hidden somewhere in where do they say, was it Afghanistan? That some terrorists hijacked the plane. I say hijack plane. Then carry it from airport to where? What method do you use to carry it that nobody will see it? Plane cannot land in your farm unless it crashes. And if it crashes, it will burn the surrounding whatever. That anybody that flies around that line will see it. Death. Daily Sun of Tuesday, November 13, 2007 says in its editorial about accident involving fuel tankers in recent times in Nigeria. Let me read it to you. Fuel tanker accidents. The recent wave of accidents involving fuel tankers and trailers with the attendant loss of lives and property, is deserving of urgent attention. Within the past few weeks, scores of Nigerians have lost their lives following accidents involving fuel tankers on the expressways. Among the most recent of these accidents, which have sent many innocent Nigerians to their untimely death, are the fuel tanker accident that occurred near the National Stadium in Surulere, Lagos, which claimed 15 lives, and the one along the Bisi Sagamu Benin Expressway, in which another 39 people died, while several vehicles were burnt. A fuel tanker had earlier on August fallen and burst into flames along the Oshodi Apapa Expressway, destroying 9 trucks, a bus, and a car. Guess how 9 trucks, a bus, and a car will be destroyed, and the drivers will be alive. The passengers will be alive. Another fuel tanker tragedy occurred on the Nigerian National Petroleum Corporation NNPC Depot Road at Ejigbo, Lagos, where about 100 people were burned to death as they were scooping fuel when a petroleum tanker, a laden tanker, fell on the road in Kaduna. End of quote. Hundreds of people die. Most of the time, petrol pipelines were vandalized in the troubled Niger Delta region in Nigeria. But you don't even need to go to Niger Delta. There was something like that somewhere, where? In Lagos. Abule Egba. Not only Egba, the idea. Abule Egba. People saw ship fuel. And they said, let me get some for my generator. But they generated fire and died. This year, 2014, the one between Israelis and the Palestinians claimed thousands of lives. How many people are dying daily in the other troubled regions of the world? Sudan, Somalia, Iraq, Afghanistan, Lebanon, Syria, Ukraine, Middle East generally, and almost 5,000. I'm sure there may be 5,000 by now, because we've been saying almost for some days now. And every day you still see the pictures of how people are buried in Sierra Leone, in Liberia, and Guinea. And what is killing them? Ebola. Many countries have told Ebola to stay away. In fact, lately, Australia has told people of Guinea, Liberia, Sierra Leone. I don't know if it will not include Nigeria, if it doesn't cover all the West African countries. But at least those three countries, Australia have told them to please stay at home. You can't go to Australia embassy and say you are going to Australia from Sierra Leone, from Liberia, from Guinea. They will tell you no. No, don't bring Ebola to us. People have blamed them and condemned them. Why should you die? America have said that we cannot isolate Africa. We better go to Africa and tackle the problem from the source. We cannot ask them not to come. But Australia said, now you get that one, no. May they no come. But as of yesterday, Spain has already gotten not just signal. There's an Ebola patient in, no, I'm not talking of pain. I'm talking of France. There have been Ebola cases in Spain. There have been in America. But France, yesterday, they have Ebola patient now that they are treating. I don't know why. They refuse to release the name and the nationality of the patient. But at least there's Ebola in France now. The whole world is panicking because we don't know where Ebola is leading us. In every institution now, you have washing basin, hand sanitizer with, posters telling you Ebola is real. Even here in Bible pattern, I see tell you Ebola is real. Beware of this, beware of that. Death. How many people are dying through wars, hungers, sicknesses, diseases, natural disasters, accidents, Abortions, illegal and illegal. Legal and illegal executions. Human rituals. Medical carelessness. Mistakes and experiments all over the world. As I was working on this topic on the 1st of November 2007, the Lagos State Television reported in its news at 8 p.m. how Caribbean tropical storm killed 80 people and rendered 25,000 homeless in the Dominican Republic. Yes, that is too real, too common, and too universal to be denied. We are told that people of Beijing in China, they live longer than people of other places in the world. Still, every day in Beijing, people are dying. Death has no respect for age, color, tribe, race. A report in the Daily Sun recently had it that 1 million children die in Nigeria every year. Nigeria, children. What about the elderly? What about young people? The word of God has many things to tell us about them. Let's read some of them. 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 14. For we must needs die, and are as water split on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person. Yet doth it devise means that his banished be not expelled from him. It was that woman that Joab sent to talk to David so that he might bring back Absalom that said that. But it is true. Where is that woman today? Answer me. She's living in Kuwait. The woman that said this. She's dead. David that he spoke to is dead. Joab that sent him is dead. Absalom, because of whom he said it, is dead. He talked about his own children. They are dead. Job chapter 30, verse 23. For I know that thou will bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living. I know thou will bring me to death. What was he saying? One day I will die. One day you will die. It doesn't matter who pray for you. It doesn't matter how long it takes for you. But one day you will die. And that is why you need to be part of things like this. Get yourself prepared. Don't kill yourself. Don't commit suicide. That woman that said she was going to die on the 1st of November, I later read about her that she said that, and in case 1st November came, I did not die, it means I will see die another day. No, nobody wants to die. Nobody wants to die. But it seems I was seeing something on BBC this night. I didn't get the whole detail, but it seems she has eventually died. With what I was reading on BBC, I'm still to cross-check, but it seems she has died at last. You know, she's a U.S. woman. She had brain cancer and said she would prefer to die, to kill herself, than for the brain cancer to kill her. People say, why don't you wait for it to kill you? Say, no, I'll kill myself. Psalm 49, verse 10. For he said that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. Sometimes when people die, they say, ah, he's foolish. He's foolish. If he is wise, he will put burglary proof in the window. It's because he did not put burglary proof. That's why killers were able to come. You've not seen killers coming before you even close the door of the house. Would they need to remove burglary proof? You've not heard about burglars, robbers, killers, leaving the doors and the windows, using hammer to break wall so that they can come in. You've not heard about killers who will find their ways to wherever in the house before the door is locked. Then when the door is locked, they now come out and start their operation. Psalm 89 verse 48. What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Selah. I've told you that Selah means stop, and calmly meditate on that. What that is saying is that all the people that said they had covenant with death in the days of Isaiah, where are they now? Death has broken the covenant. Don't make covenant with death. Death will let you down. It was said of Baba Akintola that when the soldier decided to kill him, they said, during the wet year, I wasn't there. I was a small boy, but not too small to know what they were saying. They said when they tried to kill him, even military's gun, they said, will not kill him. They said he was taken to the hospital and they have to cut whether his tomb or something because of the ring that was there. Or was it his stomach? They said they opened. They have to cut a part of his body, remove something before he could die. That's what we had. Come. Because there is something that will not allow him to die. We've heard it about some elderly people that when it's time for them to die, they will not die. Until they go to do 182 or something. He is no longer alive. Nevertheless, he's not dead. Then when the children are fed up of looking after him, they bury him. But the end of it is still what? Death. Then outside Juju, we even had of people who enter coma. They will be in coma for months. I don't have a way of verifying the authenticity of it, but I believe it, that our father, Baba Billy Graham, has been in coma for more than a year. When last did you hear about him? No, you have Billy Graham program on TBN almost every, if not every day, every week. But Baba Billy Graham, we're not sure. Because he's close. His wife left a few years ago. And the way he's going, he's getting close. In fact, I had Benihim predicting something one day. I said, there are signals. He said, this will be signal this, this will be signal this. I can't remember what he was talking about. But he said the death of Billy Graham with this signal, something, something. He's not dead yet, but he will die one day. Ah, you won't understand what I'm saying. Unless you are able to watch some of his program like I've done in the past. Vibrant. Powerful. Hey! When Billy Graham is preaching, you have to sit right. I'm telling you. And the doctrine preach all this yamayama they preach. No. Repent or you go to hell. In fact, the way we pronounce the hell, you will almost see fire. But no more shouting. No more crusade. Death is knocking at the door. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 19 says, for that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man had no preeminence above a beast for all his vanity. He says, so we don't have preeminence above a beast. He is talking about human body, not the soul. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 8. There is no man that had power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither had the power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. Whether you are good or bad, the day of your death, you must obey. Romans chapter 5 verse 12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin enter into the world, and death by sin, and so death pass upon all men, for that all have sinned. Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. In case you don't know what I am doing here, hallelujah. Amen. I'm sure you will see pastor in Lagos that will tell you Ogunsanya is crazy. teaching his people, young people, people that are full of life, teaching them about preparing for death. Does he want all of them to die? The best way of preparing you to die is not to talk to you about death. The best way of preparing you not to die yet is to talk to you about death. It's not like the issue of hell. If you know a pastor who doesn't talk about hell, he's preparing the whole of his congregation for the bottom of hell. If you know a pastor who often talks about hell, he's preparing his people not to go to hell. Let me put it to you. If somebody is going to war as a soldier, at the training center, they tell him that you will never die. You can't die. Part of his training, you will never die and you cannot die. What are they preparing him to do? To die quick, not just to die quickly. But if they tell him that you can die, everybody at the opposite side want to kill you. Whether the whole stick or gun or blow blow is meant to do what? To kill you. So this is what you do and do. When you see something like ball, don't touch it. No be ball, no na grenade. And when you see other soldiers dodging a particular part, maybe there is a landmine there. At that place where they go, when nothing blow for their leg, now you go follow. Then when you see somebody from the other end holding stick like this and point it to you, not be walking stick, yo. Before he pull that thing on that call trigger, pull your own first, kill him before he kills you. They are preparing him not to do what? Not to die. Pastors are afraid of talking about death. Firstly, because they are not ready. They don't want to die. And any true pastor must be prepared anytime. Anytime. No, you don't kill yourself. You don't even pray for death to come. You pray for the grace of God to do his work and do his will and do it well until the end. Nevertheless, you live your life as if death will come today. So that whenever it comes, like it came to Peter, like it came to Paul, like it came to John, James, and the rest, you will not be surprised. Now, what should be believers' attitude to death, the dead, and bereavement? We will start by looking at what should be believers' attitude to death generally. Death generally. The word attitude is defined in the Microsoft Encounter Dictionary as follows: personal view of something, an opinion or general feeling about something. How do you feel about it? What is your opinion of it? 2, bodily posture, a physical posture, either conscious or unconscious, especially while interacting with others. The Bible does not put us in darkness as to what should be our attitudes to death. The teaching of the Bible makes it very clear that though death is an enemy, 1 Corinthians 15:26, it is not limited to sinners. Both good and bad people die daily. Answer this important question. Look at me, everybody. Be honest with yourself. Yes, I know you are not there. Neither am I there. But say the truth in your heart. Does it seem to you that Ebola must have killed at least one Christian in Liberia, Sierra Leone, or Guinea since it started killing? Yes. Only one Christian? No. 2, 3, 4. I mean, genuine believer. A child of God indeed. Then answer this question. You say you know the answer already. I just want to make it a formality. Can Ebola kill a Christian? Yes. I've attended programs where people, Lila, it cannot kill us. You call me an unbeliever, the way I react to some things. Because I know in my heart you are deceiving me. Ebola can kill a Christian. We say, where come the prayer? We pray. Has any child of God died of accident in the past? Plane crash? In case you don't know, the one who popularized this song, this word is not my own. I'm just a passing through. Jim Reeves died of plane crash. Not too long after singing that song. Death has no respect for spirituality, nationality, or any other lity. So we should be fearing. That's why we are showing you, so that you don't fear.
The message you're listening to is coming to you from Bible Pattern Church. You can get this message and thousands of others on various topics on cassettes, audio CDs, and DVDs from Bible Pattern Church headquarters, end of Adewale Adegun Avenue, Karale Estate, by Estate Bus Stop, off College Road, Ifako Ijaye, Lagos State, or other branches nationwide. Or you visit our website www.biblepatternchurch.org. Happy listening.
I don't know how to sing this in English, but we've sang it in Yoruba. Iku koto lati beru. Jesu Oluwa se lere. Ba ti le ku awa yo si tun ye. Ma se beru. Ma se foya rara. In case you don't know the meaning of that new song, the song we learned yesterday. Give me a copy. The last answer of this new song. When I wake up in the morning,
Jesus is my love.
When I go out to do my work,
Jesus is my love.
When I come back to sleep at night,
Jesus is my love.
Finish it. Every day. Okay. And everywhere, Jesus, the Son of God, is my Lord. Where I'm going is the last answer. Somebody say, hey, I don't see Amo. You better see her now. Let me show you. In water, in prosperity,
Jesus is my Lord.
If sickness or disease attacks, in good health or about to die,
Jesus is my love.
Finish it. Every time and everywhere, Jesus, the Lord of life, is my Lord. He's the Lord of life. That song, what he's saying is that if you are very healthy, or the doctor finally told you that you have only few days more, that's the meaning of about to die. At that time, what do? In case you don't know, some people will say, carry me to Babalawo. Yes, some people have done it. We've heard about pastors. Why? The knowledge you are acquiring through this study, they lack. So they see death and say, oh, woba, oh, woba, oh, woba. Orun yabo. Is all right, Nico? As we are dying, many people are dying all over the world. Believers inclusive. So as you are landing at the bosom of Jesus, you see some other pastors, some other believers, they are all landing. And if you land where, you'll be rejoicing there. Then why should I go to Babalawo? Because death is coming. That's why I included that one. In good health, or about to die. You are not going to be weeping. Hey, I'm about to die. Paul said, I'm under two opinions. I don't know whether to remain here and continue to be useful to the church, or to just die and go to be with the Lord. Any Christianity that prepares you for enjoyment of this world only is fake. The primary duty of Christianity, genuine, is to get you ready to be with the Lord. Death is not limited to sinners. Both good and bad people are dying. Each believer should expect to die one day if Jesus delays his coming. We are looking at three things. No, we are not covering the whole of this chapter today. I know that one before coming. We are looking at just three things, then we'll pray. One, universality of death. You say that's what you have been saying. I will say a little more. Two, examples of believers of old. Three, some quotable quotes about death. Let's take universality of death. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Though a believer is not expected to fear death, he is, however, expected to always bear in mind that he will surely leave the world one day. A believer must never forget the fact that death can come at any time, and therefore must always live his life that be acceptable to God, so that the day of his death will be a day of joy and not of sorrow. Even this, if this will amount to suffering for God's sake. I read Revelation chapter 2 verse 10. "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer." Take note of the word "shall." "Which thou shalt." And who is talking here? Jesus. Talking to who? Talking to a church that was faithful to him. "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." You know the meaning? You will see death like this coming. Kill one, pa. Kill two, pa. Kill three, pa. Then say next. And you are the one. The Bible says, remain committed. Remain faithful. If you are serving God only because he can deliver you from death, you are not serving him well. If you believe that Jesus will not allow you to die, and that's why you are following Jesus, you are not following him well. "In good health or about to die, Jesus is my Lord. Every time and everywhere, Jesus, the Lord of life, is my Lord." A believer must always bear in mind that Jesus is the only one who has power over death, and therefore should never have a reason to separate from him. Some people have made the terrible mistake of going to enter a kind of compromise with the devil so that they will not die, and they still die. It will have been wonderful to remain in the will of God and die like a child of God. I wish I would rush this one and go back to that testimony we couldn't read then. Testimony of those who died. What they said when they were about to die. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 10. But it's now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. Did you hear that? Death is still killing. But the Bible says Jesus has abolished death. Abolished death for who? For us. I've told you, when a believer dies, you only pass into glory. If this is not true, we are the most foolish people in the world. You know what Paul told the Corinthians? Some of you now say there is no resurrection. Come here. If only in this world we have our hope in Christ Jesus, we are among all men most miserable. Why do we come to church all the time? Why do we read the Bible all the time? Sin is sweet. But why do we refuse to sin? Is it not because we believe the word of God? Is it not because we believe the Bible? How come that death will now be approaching that we say, "I don't believe again"? I'm a believer forever. Say your own. Say it very well. If you wash, no, the Bible says don't look at beer when it is red in the cup. Otherwise, I will tell you that if you wash beer drinkers, the way they drink, especially if you are opportune to go to where they are. No, you don't need to travel far. There is a street in Abule Egbe outside there. They call that street, one of our friends has his church there. Bishop Adekolu's church is along that road. What's the name of that street? I've forgotten now. Your left hand side, your right hand side. That street. They are all beer joints. So you don't need to go and sit down. If you are passing, you see them sitting in circle, each person having his cup, and they look so much alive. If you don't go there in the night, when they will begin to break their heads, if you go when they are still sane, they look so much alive, so much joyful, and everybody is drinking his beer. And if you happen to hear Enito Maye Jelomu, or they put Obey song, the kind of song that Obey himself will no longer sing. The kind of song that Obey himself will no longer obey when they put it. To Baba Loje Agba boy, to njaye dede, to tun lori obirin, eni kin bia, star laja, gbogbo e lo fi yonu. If you see the way they are using it to yonu, it looks so sweet. If don't hold the garment of Jesus, you are holding very well. You just see beer pulling you back. If you know the way those who use cocaine feel, that's why they always crave for it. They will not eat, they will prefer to use it. Because when they immediately they put it like this, the body becomes so light, they are so much alive. Say, Pastor, use them before, God forbid. He can attempt to jump this thing. Bring knife, stab him. He can do like this and still continue to run. The thing that gives you pain, don't give them pain. And because of that, even if they are dying, they are still using. It's sweet now. If you see real fornicators, when they are in it, go. Bring gun and say, I shoot you. Say, let me finish this one if you are going to shoot me. Sin is sweet. Oh, when they go for armed robbery, it may not be sweet. But when they are sharing their loot, and this one take a jeep, brand new jeep that he did not work for. This one take his money, say, that house they advertise in the paper, I'm going to buy that house. And he goes to buy a mansion in Lekki. One operation. What can be sweeter? Sin is sweet. But we say no to sin. Because we believe the word of God. We believe the truth of the word of God. And we know that there is a place to go after death. If you believe God and you run from sin, should you now not believe God because death is approaching? That's why Jesus said, be faithful unto death. To us, death is nothing. How about you say death is nothing? You are expected to even see yourself as dead to sin to start with. Romans 6:2. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Verse 7. For he that is dead is free from sin. Verse 11. Likewise reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. A believer must not be part of any erroneous idea about death. It is the erroneous ideas people have about death that is making them to do many wrong things because of death, the dead, and bereavement. Examples of believers of old. Romans 8:38. I love this scripture. And 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, that's number one on the list. If you ask people of the world, what's the greatest calamity that can befall a man? They say, to die now. Paul said, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature
shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So if death is coming, I'm for Jesus. If it is abundant life, I am for Jesus. If it is plenty, I am for Jesus. If it is want, I am for Jesus. Philippians chapter 1 verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. That's how to be a believer. A true believer is a believer in every situation. When he's healthy and very much alive, a believer. When the death is blowing, you know what David said? If I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You say, why? To us, death will not be evil. It's an enemy, but it will take us to Jesus. It was in Uganda in those days. They were persecuting Christians. A boy, a small boy, was about to be killed by the ruler of Uganda then. Not Idi Amin, this one ruled many years before Uganda. Persecuting Christians, just like Idi Amin. Before they throw you into the fire, they will cut your arm and cut your leg. Then they throw you so that you cannot run or create problem. They have been doing it to people. As they were to cut the arm of that boy, the boy says, stop. I will not struggle in the fire that will take me to Jesus. I will be in that fire for so minutes, and I will go to Jesus. Tell the king that one day we enter into fire, he will never come out of the place. Small boy. That's the kind of faith I want to have. Amen. You know what they said happened in one church one day? The pastor planned it. He wanted to prove his people. While service was going on, suddenly, somebody came in with with gun and dagger. How many of you belong to Jesus here? And they managed to raise their hands. You belong to Jesus? Say yes. Held that one. Drag him out. What would the rest people be doing? You know, talking in tongue. Must. Those who don't talk in tongue before we start immediately. Drag him out. And they are, the man came back. The dagger, blood was dropping from the dagger. Say, yes, next. Who belongs to Jesus here? At the window, at the leku. Nobody belongs to Jesus anymore. No. The man didn't kill anybody. The blood was the blood of either goat or fowl. The pastor only wanted to know whether his people truly know Jesus. He said, pastor, if it happened here, what will happen? The same thing will happen. Yes. Sir, are you sure? I'm so sure. Very sure. Very sure. John Eggie was preaching something recently. I didn't get all the details, but I got this aspect. They said there was this building construction. The pastor built the church, and they could not pay the contractor. When the contractor thought of what to do, contractor went and got a costume that will look like the way they used to picture Satan, and hid himself somewhere in the church until the service started. When the service started, he suddenly came out, and I can't remember what he said. He said something. I Satan, this is the one that I had. I didn't get all the details anyway. John Eggie, if you watch him on TV, he said one elder there. I said, was it the elder or deacon? He said, I have been a deacon in this church for 20 clinical years. I have been teaching Sunday school for a number of years. He mentioned many things he had done in the church, but he said, Satan, all along I am on your side. am not on the side of the devil. Eh? I thought you would say your own. I will not let the devil take over my life. The life I've given to Jesus is surely secure. I am for Jesus forever. Satan will say, so you people will still sing this song? We will sing it. I am for Jesus today. Today, oh, I am for Jesus tomorrow. Tomorrow, I have no business with the devil, enemy of my soul. I am for Jesus forever. Hallelujah. What we have read in these scriptures are saying to us is that, like the believers of old, we must not allow the death of anyone, fear of death, or the inevitability of death to draw us into anything contrary to the will of God. Today, there are so many people in secret societies, false religions, all kinds of occult practices because of death. Go to Lagos Ibadan Express Road. There are people in Guru's camp. With all the story you have heard about him, the day they went to arrest him, the man that led the police team said, is this man selling cars? With the number of exotic cars in that bush. In case you don't know, he's the head of Ogboni fraternity in the whole of Nigeria today. The day I read it, I said, can God become head of Ogboni? Shebi, he said, be God. People go to him for protect. Huh? That was how they were going to Jesus of Oyinbo at Onigbongbo there to protect them. But the day Jesus of Oyinbo died, a retired journalist said they should please tell his family to pay my money. He said there was betting between him and Jesus of Oyinbo. Jesus of Oyinbo said, bet it if I would die. They bet whether £1 or something. Now that he is dead, in case those of you who follow it then, when he died, his disciples said they will not bury him, that he will come back to life. Then they waited for some time, and maybe he was thinking or something. I read in the newspaper, journalists, and you know journalists, they are very wicked when it comes to a thing like that. Okay, journalists, don't be annoyed. Somebody that was digging the ground with digger. Oh, she digger, it's okay, but I know you are for to it. They now put it in front page. They said they are digging the grave of Jesus of Oyinbo. I said, She wants to. In case you don't know, even religious of Jesus of Oyinbo is no longer there. His children are taking over the property of their father. And they are not interested in the wayo he was doing. I went to Akure the other time. That may be up to 2 or 3 years now. I went to my pastor, Pastor Bagere. Pastor Bagere was I don't know what name you call them. You call them welder generally, but he's a little more than ordinary welder. When I greeted him, I said, the story of Jesus of Oyinbo you used to tell us, Baba, tell me again. Who went with me? Whether brother Reuben or so, and one other person with Adam. He now reminded him, he said, somebody said there is contract somewhere I will do. He now took me to Jesus of Oyinbo. He wanted to give out contract, and it was to give me the contract. He now said, you see, I am Jesus Christ. I said, Baba said, I told him, you are not Jesus Christ. You are not Jesus Christ. He said, they have decided if you will not give me the job, don't let him give me the job. How can you say you are Jesus Christ? You are not Jesus Christ. He said, he still gave him the job. In fact, they became close, my pastor. So he was giving him contracts. He wanted to do welding work. And you know, Jesus was a big businessman. All this Mr. Big, Mr. This you do today. Jesus was the one doing it in those days. Atonepanu, I've eaten in his eatery before. I barbed my hair in his barbing saloon before.
electric clipper. It was Jesus of Igbo. The only place they were using it in Lagos. Was a businessman. He had big bakery, had everything, and claimed to be Jesus. No, he meant it. One day I drove a car to Onigbongbo, park it in front. At the other side, the other side, the properties belong to other people. But he has his own yard. From that, there's a road that separated his yard with these other people. I park at the other side, backing the other side, facing the entrance of his palace. And I sat in the vehicle, reading all the inscription patiently. I was just in the vehicle. You know, I was a small boy, so I don't fear nothing. And I was born again. I was reading all the inscriptions. They put his picture. I am the bread of life. I have everything Jesus claimed to be. They put it on the entrance. Ogbeni. By the time he would die, I was already a pastor. Do you know people go to secure their lives in the hands of such people? Then when they die, what happened to the life kept in their hands? Let me read some of this quotable quote. Death is the opening of a more subtle life. In the flower, it sets free the perfume. In the chrysalis, the butterfly. In man, the soul. The name of the man is Adam. Some die without having really lived, while others continue to live in spite of the fact that they have died. Anonymous. Death and love are two wings which bear men from earth to heaven. Anonymous. Death to the Christian is the funeral of all his sorrows and evils, and the resurrection of all his joys. Okay. Button say, the fear of death is worse than death. Iberuiku, oburujuku lo. Kabel, to live in heart, we leave behind, is not to die. Tryon Edwards, this world is the land of the dying. The nest is the land of the living. Froham, why fear death? It is the most beautiful adventure in life. Goethe, those are dead. Even for this life, there are hope for no other. Jefferson, we are but tenants, and surely the great landlord will give us notice that our lease has expired. Onile ma to fun wa ni we pe ta se nle ohun to. Naclod, we picture death as coming to destroy. Let us rather picture Christ as coming to save. We think of death as ending. Let us rather think of life as beginning, and that more abundantly. We think of losing. Let us think of gaining. We think of parting. Let us think of meeting. We think of going away. Let us think of arriving. And as the voice of death whispers, you must go from head. Let us hear the voice of Christ saying, you are but coming to me. Manilos, we begin to die as soon as we are born, and the end is linked to the beginning. Scott, is death the last sleep? No. It is the last funeral awake. Is death the last sleep? No. It is the last final awakening. I love what Shaspurgeon said. Let me read some of them to you. Shaspurgeon, depend upon it, there is no pain in dying. The pain is in living. That's the chief of preachers, Shaspurgeon. He also says, men have been helped to live by remembering that they must die. That's great. You must hear it. Men has been helped to live by remembering that they must die. I am reminding you that you must die. And it's a way of helping you to live. Death causes. Sorry. I take it again. No. It's still Shaspurgeon. All the remaining are from Shaspurgeon. Okay, minus one. Death cures. It is the best medicine. For they who die are not only almost well, but also healed forever. Lastly, Sir Spurgeon, it is the very joy of this earthly life to think that will come to an end. Swift, it is impossible that anything so natural, so necessary, and so universal as death should ever have been designed by providence as an evil to mankind. Lastly, Tennyson, God's finger touched him and he slept. What should be believer's attitude to bereavement? That's where we'll take it next week. But what have we told ourselves today? Don't fear death. Everybody say it. Say it again. The book of Hebrews says that people are in bondage all their lives because of fear of death. In case you don't know, that is what glues some people to some fake prophets. Mulala, I saw in my dream. What did you see? Buy 7 candle. Go and bring her this. Pastor will eat it. You will not die. All he needs to hear is for pastor to say, you will not die. When they say, you will not die, I say, finish. You will go. When he hears them, go! He comes back and says, ah, there was an accident. I thought I was dead. But okay. Shebi, you know that at that time. Okay. You will need to fast 3 days. Okay, I will do it for you. We will collect money. Say, go, you will not die. Say, pastor, don't say I will not die. Until one day we'll come again, pastor is dead. In my village, there was an herbalist when I was a small boy. They call him Baba Bari Yalo. My mothers were here. So they say, so this boy, no. No, I was a very small boy. They call him Baba Bari Yalo. Recently, somebody said they wanted to do the burial of Baba Bari Yalo. I said, which Baba? I'm sure he died when I was still in primary school. They now said he went to visit somebody in another town, and that was where he died. So, because of the circumstances surrounding his death, they couldn't do proper burial. Now that children are grown up, you know, that would be around maybe 50 years after or 40 years after they want to do the burial. I say, so they could kill the Baba. Because in my village in those days, if somebody cough, they carry it to him. If somebody sneeze, it was the Agbomola of the village. Don't let anybody deceive you. Jesus is the Lord of life. Once you have Jesus, you will never die. That's what Jesus says. He said, where? John chapter 11. And if you die, you will live again. Stand up and let us pray. Iku koto lati bero Yesu olu wa shelere Ba ti leku awa yosi tuye Ma she bero Ma she koya rara Senget ero koba mima Tore moni Yesu Aya kofo mima Ni tore moni baba. What will you say to God this morning? I'm sure most of you don't know what to say. This was another topic. Or the teaching has faced another direction. Many of us will know what to say. But I'm sure many of you don't know what to say. Should I pray, Father, I will die? Or should I say, I will not die? Which one do I say now? You know what you will say? Father, give me the grace to remain faithful to you. In every situation, when it is well, I remain faithful to you. When it is not well, I remain faithful to you. Give me the grace to always remember that you are the Lord of life and I belong to you. And with you on my side, I will not fail. I will not fail in this life. When I leave the world, I will not be a failure.
O Lord, give me the grace never to forget this truth. Never to forget this truth, O Lord. Give me your grace. Talk to God like that. Look at me.
Do you know that some people that would have been alive today actually died because they were trying to run from death? Yeah? Some people would jump from tall building. They scatter before they go to the ground. Those who try to come through the staircase are still able to come up. Father, give me the grace that death will not terrify me. Is it death of a neighbor? Is it death approaching me? I will have my confidence in Jesus that is there for me. Pray like that for yourself. I will not be terrified. I will not be intimidated. I will not be pulled into anything that is bad, wrong, contrary to the will of God in any way. Life or death, I will remain a believer.
Prayed. Father, we thank you for this morning, for this enlightenment you are given unto us, so that we will not be under fear of death every day of our life, because to you it is not a calamity. Father, this is the knowledge we need to know so that we can serve you very well in life. So that you'll not be running at a scatter up and down as if the worst has come to us. Father, we thank you for all this teaching you have given unto us this time. Father, for this take glory in Jesus' name. Since we are coming to you, either we like it or not, we will pass one way. And we've been told that three things it put an end to sojourning of man in this world. One of it is death, which we are studying about now. One of it is rapture. And the third one is judgment. This death is the one people fear most, but it is not something you should be fearing, so that can serve you very well in this world. Thank you, Father, for this opening of eyes. Take glory in Jesus' name. Anytime you choose for us, once it is our time, it doesn't matter what is coming our way, give us the boldness, the confidence to face it in Jesus' name. You've heard of the matters of old. Stephen, for example, when death came to him, he was not panicking. He was even praying for those who were killing him. Because he knew that he is coming to you. Help our faith so that you be strong enough every time, everywhere, to face every things in this world in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for you are good to us. Don't let this church die in our hearts in Jesus' name. But let it make us live well, serve you well in this world. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
We trust you have been blessed through the message you just listened to. To enjoy more faith-lifting messages that will prepare you for today and eternity of blessedness, visit Bible Pattern Church Headquarters, end of Adewale Adegun Avenue, Karaoke Estate, by Estate Bus Stop, off College Road, Ifako Ijayi, Lagos State, or other branches nationwide. Or visit our website, www.biblepatternchurch.org. Contact us today for any godly counsel you need. Feel free to send your prayer requests to us and share your testimonies with us. You can also send your questions to us at BiblePattern1983@yahoo.com or BiblePattern1983@gmail.com. Bible Pattern Church is a living church where you can learn the way of God, know the mind of God, and do the will of God that will lead you to your home above. Bible Pattern Church, the only Bible, is our pattern in all things.